In this segment, we're going to talk about Kuiper's theory that he called, or it's been translated from Dutch, as sphere sovereignty. Kuiper sees this whole business of the authorities that exist in human life as placed there by God, and that the New Testament, by mentioning them and regarding them as legitimate, such as parents in a family, owners in a business, the rulers in a state, the officials at the in a church or synagogue, that provides a hint, a basis for how to go at this business of seeing the proper relation of the state to the rest of society. And he's keenly aware of the fallacies and the foibles of what has preceded this. He certainly is not a collectivist, and he sees the dangers of individualism. And he's not going to just divide authority up between the church and the state and hope that everything works out. This still ends up pretty totalitarian. I mean, what is it that's left that isn't being ruled by some authority? Even if you think they're so different that if you commit a crime against the state, if you run into a church and hide, the police can't come get you because that's church authority. That's pretty silly. Well, Kuiper's idea of sphere sovereignty is very different. It's not a hierarchy at all. And what this dot symbolizes is the individual. And instead of a hierarchical view, we're going to have a very different sort of way of conceiving of this stuff. And circle should have more segments, but I'm just going to use a few examples. I'm sure you'll get the idea. Human life has many different aspects. There, that term comes back, right? We live and move and have our being with all sorts of concerns. Health, having enough money to live on, being educated or understanding the world around us, education for our children. We are concerned about faith and having the right God and having our children taught the Christian faith. And there are many more. There are parts of life that have to do with just having fun. Here's a sports club. Here's a book of the month club. And there are artistic institutions and so on. So thinking about those aspects, Kuiper says, look, everybody is aware of these. They form part of the life of everybody. It's not the case that art is important or appreciated only by artists, any more than it's the case that business is only important to businessmen. It's not. It's important to churchmen, state rulers, you see. So these are all different aspects of life. So here we'll put biotic health. And here we'll put faith. And here we'll put education. And over here, making a living. Over here we'll put our concern with justice. And we could pick anything, really, for this last one. We'll just pick a club of some sort, maybe a sports club. There are a lot more, right? I said that. I hope you heard that. We could divide this into many more segments. And whatever is important to human beings, they inevitably institutionalize. So when some people say, well, I'm religious, but I don't believe in institutional religion, it doesn't cut it. What humans think is important in life, so if it's important, they'll institutionalize it in some way in order to preserve it. Now, sometimes, as we know, the institutions created to preserve a certain interest get in the way of it and need to be reformed and overhauled, sure. But it sure is a lot better for that cause, for whether that's art or religion or education or business, to be institutionalized, to have an institution that's created to promote it, than not. So what happens is that people do that. They form, they make hospitals and clinics. They form sports leagues. Maybe it's football. And to enforce justice and make laws that prevent injustice, they create a state. They form into a state. They make a living. Here's business. Maybe labor union. Education is the school and the church. And I mean church institution. This includes a temple, a mosque, or any sort of institution like that. So these are the interests that arise naturally in people. And these are the artifacts that they form in order to promote and preserve any particular interest that they have, the different aspects of life. And Kuyper sees this as a divided authority. Each one of these has its own sort of authority. So there is the authority of the experts on health, the doctors, and especially the ones that form the ruling board of the hospital. There's the expert who are ordained leaders of the church, the teachers who provide education in a school, the businesses that provide a way to make a living, the state to enforce justice. People form these communities, these social institutions. Think with me for a moment about a tribe. A tribe doesn't differentiate all these different aspects of life. For a tribe, the chief plus the ruling elders make all the decisions about everything. It's not that they don't have a business side of life, it's that they don't think of it as distinct. So some one person may make clothes, or some group of them in the tribe makes clothes, and other guys, they're the fishermen, and so it's divided up. But it's pretty, what Doyard calls, undifferentiated. We haven't distinguished the different sides of life, and people become expert just in those. And that's a process that takes place historically and is associated in Doyard's theory with the development of a culture. But surely in the culture, in the world today, there are very few tribal governments, the substitute for what we think of as state. The tribe is the state and the church and the business and the hospital and it's all of them. But for the rest of the world, they've been distinguished and people are expert in them. Now, the question is, how are these institutions to relate to one another? Now that we recognize that the different sides of life are natural to humans, and it's natural to institutionalize them in order to preserve and promote them. And and Kuyper's view is that each kind of authority should be kept and protected in its own proper sphere. That's what this expression means. There's a sphere in which a particular kind of authority is sovereign, and it should not be interfered with. Let me give some simple examples of how this might go. Here where I put sports club, let's put something more important than that. Let's put family. The authorities, the proper authorities in the family, according to Scripture, are the parents. So the parents have the right, under this view, to raise their children the way they see fit. The parents have the right of educating their children. They have a duty and a right. So if they don't like the schools, they should have the right to find another school or educate the children themselves. It's parents that have that proper authority over how their children should be educated. When it comes to the hospital, being or a doctor being treating someone it's the experts, again, who should have the authority. They say, what's the best course of treatment? When is it hopeless and this person can't be saved? Those kinds of decisions should be left to doctors. The state has a policing function here to make sure that everything's on the up and up. That is, we're not declaring some elderly person hopeless just to get their money. But aside from that, they should not interfere with those decisions. They should be made on the basis of health concerns. Similarly, there's authority in the church. There are the clergy and the theologians. If you're, depending on how your church is organized, it would be bishops or elders or whatever. And they have the responsibility to see that the faith is taught, the sacraments are practiced, the word of God is preached. The state should not be telling people what church to go to. You see, it's a different authority. Any more than they should tell a family, now your kids have to go to bed by 8 o'clock. Or this is what you're going to feed them for breakfast. And there have been examples of states trying to do that and examples of businesses trying to do it. So each authority is proper in its own sphere and should not be interfered with by another authority. That's Kuyper's idea. That's what it means for each kind of authority to be sovereign in its own sphere. The owners of a business decide, taking in expert advice, what product or service they're going to try to provide and at what price and what are they going to pay their employees and so on. It's not for government to come and tell them what to do, what to make, what to supply, what to charge. That's their decision. If there's an economic disaster, does the government have a role? Can it step in and try to help so that millions of people aren't left homeless and jobless? Of course. The state has emergency services that it should engage in to help any of these, but it does not take over that kind of authority. It doesn't take the authority away from the people that are owners or teachers or clergy or parents. I remember reading a story a man wrote about his own life. His parents had been Greek immigrants to the United States, and they were really concerned about being able to settle and get a job. His parents worked very hard to learn English, and they learned enough to be able to manage. But they still felt strange and so on, and they were just delighted out of their minds when the father got a job at a big auto-making company in Detroit. Not long after the father got the job and started to work, representatives of that company came to the house, and they walked through and they told the man and his wife, the new employee and his wife, this isn't the way an American house is supposed to look. You have furniture here you must have brought from the old country. Get rid of this stuff and buy American furniture. And what's that I smell from the kitchen? That's not American food. We don't want you eating all that garlicky stuff. You get American diets and eat that. And get those awful-looking drapes down from the windows and put up something that looks American. And, of course, the attitude then was, well, the owners of that business want to make these conditions for working here. It's their business. Why can't they come into your home and tell you how to live and what to eat? And they also made some comments about where the kids should go to school and these people should be going to church somewhere else. That is a wild violation of this vision of human society, of sphere sovereignty. And in Kuyper's view, it is the duty of the state to enforce this and to protect it and to see to it that no authority interferes with any other. Try not to laugh, because it's the state that's most often been guilty of that, but that would be the responsibility of the state under sphere sovereignty. So the sphere sovereignty view of society is, no, the employer can't tell you what kind of drapes to hang at the windows and what you're going to eat. The employer has every right to tell you which job you're going to do for him and what the hours and the pay are and so on, but not to interfere with your life, the rest of your life. Here's another example. Back around the turn of the previous century, there was a lot of immigration into the east coast of the United States. People flocked in not only from Greece, but places like Italy and Spain and so on. And a lot of these people found themselves in very poor straits. They came from being farmers to a big city environment where now they had to find a job that was fairly strange to them. And in many cases, incidents such as the one I'm about to describe took place. Husband comes and gets a laboring job. Maybe he's working on a road gang or building a bridge. Or he's doing hard labor and he gets injured. And now he can't go to work. So his wife now has to go find work. And she goes to the garment district of the city and says, I can sew. I know how to, I can do good work for you. And they say, okay, but you got to bring your kids. You want this job? You bring your three children and they're going to work too and they're not getting paid. You are. And you're going to work 6 days a week. Or they may say you're going to work 7 days a week. Now, from the sphere sovereignty point of view, the business side of life has no right to tell these people that their children can't go to school and that they can't, as a family, worship together, which is just what they're doing. In the United States, there were passed child labor laws so that this sort of thing wouldn't happen. And a lot of the people that voted for the child labor laws, if we take at face value what they said, voted for them because they thought children should have a delightful childhood. They shouldn't have to work and so on. We agree with the child labor laws, but not for that reason. We agree with them because we have this idea of sphere sovereignty. The business may not encroach on family life. It may not take away the opportunity for education to the children. It may not interfere in the religious side of life by demanding that you work so many days, every day, every week, and can't worship. I'm hoping that this is giving you some feel for the way this works out when it's applied. We have some pretty egregious violations of sphere sovereignty done in just recent years by many governments. I think the government of my own country violates it pretty badly often. But here's the idea of society that's going to underpin the theory of the state that's coming up. We see society as divided among many authorities. Each is legitimate. Each authority is God-given. That's the way God has built authority into human life. The supreme authority over all is only God. There is no institution in human society that is the supreme authority. Not the church, not the state. It's only God, from whom all authority comes, Scripture tells us, and that means the authorities in the church, in the family, in the state, in business, education, whatever. This is a very different view of society. It's not hierarchical at all. It's not bottom to top. It's every individual functions in all of these aspects to some degree. And then this is the way the institutions formed to preserve those different sides of life are to be seen relating in relation to one another. We'll pick up more of this next time, and then we'll begin to lay the groundwork for the Christian theory of the state, the political institution.